Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to the Radioactive Ramblings podcast, the show where three buddies get together to ramble about our favorite shows, movies, and always struggle to stay on topic. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Chase.
And I'm your third and final host, Richard.
And before we get into the topic of today's episode, I just want to share a little bit about our Patreon. We are going to be releasing early and ad-free content to our Patreon subscribers, so go check it out. There's a bunch of tiers, and just, yeah, it's a good time.
The topic of today's episode is going to be our review of Invincible Season 3, Episode 4.
Before we get started, I just have to say a few other things about how to contact us. The first of which is our email, radioactive@thelorehounds.com. We also have a channel set up for Radioactive Ramblings in the Lorehounds Discord server. You can send us a message, chat about the show. You know, we'd love to hear some voices from our listeners about what we can do better or cover or whatever. And we also have a contact form, or you can leave us a voicemail at thelorehounds.com, and consider giving us a follow on Blue Sky at radioactive141. And we'd also appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Audible, wherever else you listen to your three-host yap. It helps other listeners like you find us.
All right. Are we ready for the recap, everyone?
Let's get into it. Take us away. And like I said last time, hopefully this is going to be respected this time. But it's your rodeo, Chase.
Yeah.
I don't respect hopefully. Chase. So.
Oh, see, already, I get on the bull and he tugs on my boots. Like, what? He wants me to fall off the bull.
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh my god. We're gonna have a serious talk about this later, I hope you know.
Are you not mad? Are you just disappointed?
I'm just disappointed. Alright. Season 3, Episode 4 kicks off with Mark and Eve attempting to... I don't know if it starts there, but this is like the first major thing of the episode where Mark and Eve are enjoying a date in Paris. Sadly, their plans are... Oh, I know what the episode
the
starts
Angstrom
off with.
Thing, right?
Yes, exactly. It's Mark breaking into the Pentagon to accuse Cecil of spying on his family, but then we learn that it wasn't Cecil. I know I mentioned it in our other episode where I said it was Angstrom. I don't remember if, like, we...
It was revealed. It was in the subtitles. I mean, if you could if you could tell by the voice, too, obviously, but the subtitles say so.
Okay, good. I knew it was him from reading the comics, so it just, like, instantly clicked in my brain, but I didn't remember whether or not they revealed it in the episode, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, he goes to Cecil because he thinks it's them. Obviously, it wasn't them. And then Mark just... Or actually, he was late to his date with Eve in Paris, where, before it gets to really begin, Dropkick and Fightmaster on their epic scooter plead for Mark's help in the future, where they say that there's a tyrannical king ruling everyone as slaves, basically, and Mark is kidnapped by them into the future, essentially, but ends up agreeing to help them. Where Immortal turns out to be the king, and he's clearly lost his mind, and He talks a lot of bullshit and crazy poop, ooh, caca, about Matt being an emperor and such, and how Mark's leaving Earth in his hands drove him to insanity because it was too much for him to do, and Mark ends up having to kill Immortal.
Can we stop there for half a second before
sure.
What can the Immortal do without, like, absolutely throwing a shit fit? When does he ever accomplish anything? I do want to take a moment to appreciate his crown.
The crown was drippy.
You know what the funny thing is, though? In season one of Invincible, I think the reason we're getting so much Immortal hate right now... Sorry, I know we're in the middle of the recap, guys, but we're just going to take a little second here.
Yeah, we got to talk about the mortal.
The reason Immortal is getting so much hate here in season two for being so weak is because in season one of Invincible, Immortal's strength is, like, massively stronger than he is in the comics.
Okay, so it's not so much that we're diverging from the comics. It's that we diverged from the comics earlier and now we're, like, coming back to it.
Yeah, because remember in season one, like, Immortal was able to hit and, like, hurt Omni-Man, remember? He was punching him, and it was doing something. I don't think he was, like, breaking his nose with punches, but he was, like,
he was stunning him at least.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. I was at a loss for words there.
You're good.
Yeah, in the comics, Immortal punching Omni-Man is, like, when a human punches, like, Mark.
Dude, when fight, like, when maybe it's Dropmaster
and Dropkick.
One of them smacks Mark in the first episode, and he's just kind of standing there. It's like Trevor like trying to pull out a combo on Dracula.
Yeah,
I hope someone here knows what I'm talking about.
No, yeah, from Castlevania. Yeah,
yeah, and he's just standing still, looking down at him like that's.
Yeah, and he's like, "So you must be a Belmont."
I love scenes like that. It's so goofy.
But yeah, Immortal is much closer to his comic counterpart strength and ability-wise in season two. Or, sorry, season three, not season two. I keep thinking this is season two because there's only, like, 8 episodes of season.
Yeah, and it's also just been a lot. I mean, season one came out, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus, don't say that. I feel old, bro.
Unk status.
No, but I think that you bring up an important point, Chase, because in season one, I feel like Cecil and the GDA propped up the Immortal as kind of the second strongest superhero behind Omni-Man and, like, the best chance to fight against him other than Mark. And then he lives up to that a little bit in season one because he's able to at least hold his own for a little while.
Well, yeah, because remember in season one, after Omni-Man kills the Guardians, Immortal is, like, resurrected, and he goes after Omni-Man in a rage, and he's able to, like, put his hands on him, like, for
real.
Yeah,
he almost popped out his eyes, I think, right?
No.
Oh,
but
okay.
He was putting that work in. In the comics, Omni-Man one-taps every single one of the Guardians of the globe, and... it's like Freelo for him. He did not struggle the way he did in the show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sidetrack aside, you want to take us back into our little second
recap? The next, like, main part of the episode that goes on is the Alan Omni-Man prison break, of course, from the Viltrumite prison, while Omni-Man is basically getting his execution punishment from the two Viltrumites. Alan causes a prison break, freeing all the prisoners, and appearance from a season one individual, Battle Beast, who almost killed Mark.
Battle Beast is pretty goaded.
Yeah, sorry. I love Battle Beast. And with the freeing of Battle Beast, Alan is able to stop Nolan's execution through some... I don't know, some odd techniques. Alan convinces Nolan to help with the prison break, and after the prison break and the killing of the two enemy Viltrumites, Nolan reveals some secrets about the Viltrumite Empire and how that might help them take them down.
The fact that there's only 50 pure-blooded is crazy.
I was just about to say that. The fact that there's 50 pure-blooded Viltrumites, and the big question in my head now is how many of the Viltrumites that we've seen are pure-blooded and who isn't? We obviously know that, like, Omni-Man and
all of,
Anissa,
all
right?
All of those Viltrumites are pure-blooded.
All of them are that we've like seen so far?
Yeah, all the ones we've seen so far, except for Oliver and Mark.
Okay. That was the biggest question in my head is, are there just like 50 really crazy Omni-Man strength people out there?
Well, they call him the Great Nolan because like he's legendary. He's like a legendary warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, because he's probably, what, 200 years old? I don't remember how old he said he was, but he's up there, right?
I think he's older than that.
Hmm.
Do you think that the Viltrumites adopted the mustache and the haircut after or before the invention of J. Jonah Jameson?
Actually,
the invention is crazy.
The mustache is like the paying homage to the original Viltrumite ruler, Argol.
Interesting.
Or I don't know if he's the original, but one of them.
Right. Yeah.
Because when I saw the two executioners pull up, I just was so entertained.
Argol is the Viltrumite ruler that Thedas is who killed.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Cool. I want to check back in with Thedas soon in the season. I'm sure that we will now that Alan and Nolan are out of the prison, but I really want to see what him and the rest of the, what is it, the League
Thedas
of,
has some interesting coalition things in store.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just going to say that. I don't want to spoil anything, but he's got some fun things to introduce.
Chase, I do want to just ask you a question. Have you been seeing all of the things about that one guy's barber?
Oh, Thrag?
I don't know if we should say it or not, but yeah, Thrag's barber.
Don't. if anyone doesn't want spoilers, don't search up Thrag.
Yeah. He's just got a clean cut at all times.
He does have a very clean hairline.
But yeah, the return of Battle Beast. I didn't expect to see him.
I've been hoping for more Battle Beast content because I feel like in discussions about the comics, people talk about how cool he is. And I just, obviously, he was cool in season one, but we just haven't seen much. And now he's bringing receipts. Like he's kind of goated when it comes to the battlefield.
Yeah, at first, like we see him in season one, he claps the shit out of Mark and all of his superhero friends, the teen team, I think.
Yeah.
He basically, like, puts them all on death's doorstep, single-handedly, practically. And then he's like, yeah, y'all were too weak to satisfy my, like, battle. Then we see him again, and he's just going toe-to-toe with a Viltrumite.
It says a lot about his power level, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, from the showings we have here, he's quite strong.
Yeah, and if Alan and Nolan can somehow keep that dude on their side, which I don't think they will, he's not the type to pick sides.
A little bit of a loose cannon.
It just seems like he wanted a good fight. And maybe he will join because he wants to fight more Viltrumites.
I think he's going to want to fight those super strong creatures. I think they're called the Ragnars that they found out about through Nolan's books. Does anyone remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You do? Okay.
Read my books, Mark.
What?
Read my books, Mark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He had to. Dude, he had to plug his merch, all right? Read my books. But no, I think that Battle Beast is going to want to fight those when they, like, come around to collecting all of the different dangerous things that are going to fuck with the Viltrumites. I don't know. I think that'd be cool.
That would be. Oh, I had one more thing to add to Battle Beast, which is I thought it was a little crazy that he had tons more security than Alan and Nolan.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I guess that just speaks to how dangerous he is.
Or they just don't expect the other two to break out.
Think about it. Alan, like, went down without a fight. Like, he made it seem like they beat his shit in, remember? And then
true.
Nolan surrendered himself after he got beat up on Thraxa because Mark basically was, like, getting his ass kicked and Nolan had to step in, and then Lucan survived being impaled by the the stalactite or whatever.
No Oliver this episode, notably, but that's okay. I felt like it was good to take a break.
He's off killing people.
Thank God we took a break from Immortal and Duplicate. Holy crap.
Yeah, dude.
Well, we didn't take a break from Immortal, just from Duplicate.
From our Immortal, you know?
Yeah.
This is an Immortal who's probably won a fight. So, you know, that's kind of fire.
You got to be on top to be the king.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that Chase can't really answer this question because he knows what's going on. But Richard, I'm curious to get your thoughts on Mark being the one who left Immortal in charge of the Earth.
What do you mean?
Like
you mean why, or
like how did he even get to the position? What did he do that he's even in the position to leave someone in charge of Earth? And did he do it because he thought the Immortal would be a just ruler, and like he thought that would the Immortal would treat the humans well, or did he do it because he wanted a tyrant to rule over?
I think Mark, here's like my theory for how all of this happens. I think Mark beats the Viltrumite Empire, or at least beats them away from Earth and keeps Earth safe. And he decides to have Immortal be like the ruler of the world because Immortal's been alive for so long. So he's like, you know, he's more mature and more developed and hopefully able to see a lot more like a lot more than just black and white when it comes to making decisions that the ruler of a planet would make. And he trusts that Immortal won't go crazy for living for hundreds of more years. But that was the wrong choice, in my opinion. I mean, clearly.
Yeah. I just love all of these future or alternate universes, like all of this stuff that they're showing us, where you can see that one wrong step and Mark becomes power hungry and evil. Like he just has so much power that if he has poor influences or goes through enough trauma to drive him to the Nolan level of not really caring about life, you can see how fragile Mark's morality might be. Maybe not this Mark, because he does still have Oliver, he has Debbie, but you know, if Oliver does some horrible stuff and needs to be stopped, I could see that pushing him towards evil. If Debbie is lost, I could see that pushing him towards evil. There's just so many avenues for Mark to turn bad.
Right. And I'm sure he's going to do, I mean, based on what's coming, I know he's going to do some fuck shit, because, I mean, that's just what the show is, I feel like, will do with crazy ass plot lines. But I'm excited to see what happens with Oliver based on what's coming. I think that he's going to develop, and maybe he's going to develop in a good way and not be so bloodthirsty and like be more mature. I don't know. Oliver's development is like what I'm really interested in this season. And I get that he didn't have a place this week, but I want more Oliver content.
Yeah. I'm really curious about the beginning of the episode where Mark is in the GDA tearing up the Reanimen. I wonder if he showed up and started tearing into the Reanimen, or if he showed up like ready to confront Cecil and then Cecil sent the Reanimen, because I feel like that distinction would place the blame on one of them.
That is an important detail, yeah.
I think knowing what we saw from last time Cecil called the Reanimen on Mark, he probably saw Mark pull up and instantly sick him on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to see some more of their like divide.
You guys were talking about like Mark getting crazy and becoming more like Nolan, that kind of reminded me, a big difference from the comics Omni-Man to the show Omni-Man is the comics Omni-Man didn't do all that shit in Chicago.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok the other day. The train scene did not happen, right?
The train scene, the building scene, all of that. Like, he didn't massacre. He killed the Guardians of the Globe, And he killed, like, the agents that, like, tried to pull up on him at his house. But that was,
yeah,
like,
but he didn't involve random people who weren't attacking him.
Yeah, he didn't just, like, massacre the civilians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I think that's a cool change. And sorry, Aaron.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, that's it. That's it.
Okay. I was just going to add on to that and say that I think a really important consequence of that is going to be Nolan joining the fight means that he can't really fight on Earth. You know, he can't ever be seen as anything but the guy who did that on Earth. And he might be able to fight the Viltrumites out in space and on their own planet or just defend other planets. But I don't see a way for him to return to Earth and do any amount of saving. I think the moment he shows up, everyone is just against him, and rightfully so.
I think, contrary to that, I think he's going to show up. And I think that he is going to try and fix everything with Debbie. I don't think that it should work. I don't think he deserves to be forgiven or anything. But I think he's going to at least try to fix his fuck-ups because of Oliver. And, yeah, you know, Mark, I guess. But mostly because of Oliver.
I hope he doesn't try to, like, fix things with Debbie. I hope that he kind of just leaves Debbie alone to heal and move on.
Yeah. He definitely should leave her alone. Like, I agree with you on that part. But I don't know, given the type of guy that he is, I don't see it.
Yeah, when you live that long, I think that social cues and just the way that you should be operating and letting people with a normal lifespan process things is probably also a little warped in your head.
Yeah. Well, because for him, you know, he can, if he pisses off another Viltrumite, he could, you know, 10 years down the line, he could see them and they'll be fine. But for a mortal, not a mortal, but like a person with a normal lifespan, obviously, it's a lot different.
Yeah, no, for sure. What do we want to talk about next? Anyone have any interesting moments that they took note of?
Time travel. I don't know. I feel like they should. It could be utilized more in the future for some interesting plot lines, but I don't know. I just kind of wanted to throw that out there and get your guys' thoughts on that.
I just think, like, the time travel stuff is clearly that's a, like, world that's hundreds and hundreds of years in the future, so they probably aren't that, I don't know, interested in dealing with things that happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago that probably aren't super well recorded.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. I'm wondering if Rudy can figure it out somehow.
Chase and I were talking about this earlier, about, I was saying that the alternate universes and the future sort of scratch the same itch. Like, they're kind of the same thing in my head, because when you go that far into the future, nothing is really set in stone. Things are essentially just different because of the sets of choices that were made by everyone in the universe. And so going forward in time, it gives us a really interesting scenario to plot Mark into and have him interacting with the world and growing as a character. But it's not necessarily our future. It's a future, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I don't know. The multiverse stuff, that is for, obviously, with Angstrom still being alive, that's going to be huge, at least for this season. And maybe next season. I don't know how they're going to pace it all.
Yeah. I just need Cecil to stop doing his whole shoot first, ask questions later approach with Mark, because he's never going to get Mark on his fucking side if he keeps doing that.
Yeah. That's true. I'm hoping, I don't know, they need to talk things out, but Cecil needs to have a, like, obviously he's got his, like, teleporter beam, but he needs to have that shit ready, because Mark is, you know, Mark could instantly snatch him, and that would be kind of
Mark
the
can
end.
Just move faster than a human can think, I'm pretty sure. Like,
true. Well, yeah, we definitely see it when he, like, practically teleports over to fucking Cecil after the Mahler twins are dead.
Yeah, I liked the conversation that Mark and Cecil had. Was this in this season or was it in one of the previous seasons? I don't know, but he uses his teleportation and Mark is like, how much does that cost the taxpayers every time you do that?
Yeah.
He's like, it's about $7 billion.
I liked his comment when they were, you know, when Omni-Man's going on his rampage and they use that big ass laser and it gives him the quote unquote world's most expensive nosebleed. I thought that was some goofy shit.
Cecil is just burning through taxpayer dollars like they're like it's candy.
It is candy. What do you mean?
He had a guy running around massacring major cities who was impervious to any kind of weaponry you had. He'd probably had to do that, right?
Like, yeah, true. No, for sure. Does anyone else find it a little weird that they have Cecil set up in the Pentagon? I feel like they need to give him his own space away from everyone else doing work so that he can get assaulted by superheroes on his lonesome.
Yeah, like put it in the middle of nowhere at least so that it's not like a population center. DC obviously is, yeah. You guys know, you live there, so I'm not even gonna...
Put the GDA in fucking like Kansas or Nebraska, somewhere where no one lives.
Yeah, right? Or Wyoming. Like, who the fuck? Who lives in Wyoming? Come on.
Less people than there are in DC, I believe.
Put the GDA on the moon, man.
Honestly, everyone can already fly up there, anyways.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I just wrote, like, Emperor Mark and his redhead.
Yeah, they did mention that. Interesting that Eve, well, seeming that makes me think that Eve lives longer than a normal person, given her, like, I don't know, maybe she can fuck with her lifespan using her powers, maybe perchance.
Ooh, then... wait, theory moment. I think that the same way that Eve is honing her powers going to school for like architecture, I think that she may be able to go to school for like biology or some kind of like sciences to figure it out even further.
She definitely may be able to go to school for biology. Yeah. I don't think anyone's disputing that. Come on.
I mean, you know, but
you could go to school for biology right now.
Yeah, but it wouldn't really benefit me in the same way. Like, what's the benefit?
Right.
All right. And then Alan willingly getting beat down to motivate Nolan. And I think that was a very interesting moment.
I think it's interesting that Nolan cares enough, honestly. Because that's like throwing away his Viltrumite honor. His honor does not remain. Sorry.
No, his honor does not remain.
I had to say it.
How did you guys like the Alan Nolan fist bump through head?
That was kind of fire.
I thought it was pretty cool.
That's straight out of the comics.
I feel like we could hit one of those for sure.
Through someone's head?
I didn't mean like through Aaron's, my God.
But someone. You want to victimize someone to make it happen.
I mean, I guess if it has to happen, it has to happen, you know?
You're just like Omni-Man.
The pick would be fire, and I think you need to understand that you gotta do it for the gram.
The pick would be fire!
Dude, you gotta do it for the gram, come on.
Dude, holy crap, the pick would be fire.
Anyways, back to Invincible. Something else that me and Chase were talking about, I think it was earlier in the week, Chase brought up a great point, which was that he said he appreciated that this show doesn't make us sit through the sex scenes. And I have to echo that.
It's awkward.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just immature, but that's not why I'm watching the show. You know, like, I'm not trying to goon. I'm trying to watch.
Especially an animated show. I don't know. I feel like it makes even less sense.
Well, it's like, I understand how you can convey a message through a sex scene or, like, I don't know, like, but I just feel like there's no message to be conveyed, you know, in this, like there, it doesn't add to the story in any way. So I appreciate that they're like, okay, like, we can skip this part.
Yeah, I think using that as a plot device, I mean, using anything as a plot device, as long as it's done well, is great. But a lot of the time, in a lot of shows that don't skip over it, it's not used that way. It's just like, yeah, it's just bam, like, it's sex.
Yeah.
And like, I'm glad too that like the narrator is a little goofy about it. It's like, well, let's get away from here or whatever the hell, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. And skipping the sex scenes, they brought us straight over to Alan and Nolan. So
they brought us over to the bromance.
Yeah. Which I know that the characters are like of a greater age than they were when the show started, but it also would be weird in my head to see these characters who are drawn the exact same way as they were when they were 17. Like, I don't know. I feel like that also would make it a little weirder.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one for sure.
Yeah, I do feel like the comics did a better job of aging them up.
Yeah.
Like, Mark is getting stronger. Like, you can see him physically.
I feel like Mark is definitely getting, like, those stress lines on his face, but
yeah, he looks like, it reminds me of Itachi, honestly.
To be fair, they did look old for high schoolers when they're, like, being drawn that way, but not that that's, like, they still,
But I don't want to see a sex scene in fucking really anything at this point, unless it's a plot device and it's done well.
I don't mind sex scenes in a lot of shows. I think that they can serve a fine purpose. I don't ever feel like it greatly adds to the experience. Like, you have shows like Game of Thrones where it's just there for the sake of being there in a lot of scenes, and that's when I'm like, okay, this is getting a little ridiculous. But
yeah,
I think if it's done
I was gonna bring that up, honestly. I was gonna say it's like how in Game of Thrones there's so much like sex scenes and so many like sexual violence scenes, and it's like, what's the point? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit gratuitous at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's not like it's greatly detracting from the experience, but I feel like it's not adding anything. So I do appreciate them taking time out of that and putting it towards the actual series and like what's happening in the story.
They obviously have to limit the episodes to a certain length. Don't give me like 4 minutes of a couple of drawings fucking. Give me Mark, not Mark, give me Nolan and Alan obliterating some Viltrumites that deserve it. Come on.
Yeah, do Nolan and Alan recreating the picture that Richard and I are going to take tomorrow.
Yeah. Wait, who's going to be in the middle though?
Who's going to be in the middle?
Like, whose head are we fist bumping through?
We'll figure out the logistics and we'll make sure that the people know. But
the people, yeah, we'll tag them in the Instagram post.
Craigslist ad.
Craigslist ad.
I think that is the place to go if you're looking for that.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
How do you guys think Cecil is watching the Grayson family? Like, what do you
mean? He
definitely just has, like, bugs and cameras throughout their house because he had it built.
And he had all that stuff in there back in the Omni-Man days, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, another thing that I think Cecil is completely justified in. Maybe a little violating their privacy.
I don't know about that, bro. I think you're off the deep end on that one.
I think that surveillance of them is good, but he's got the nanny. Like, that, I feel like the nanny is good enough, right?
I feel like we've established at this point that the nanny is, first of all, loyal to Debbie. I don't think that the nanny is going to be divulging anything that crazy to Cecil.
Well, I think she'd be divulging, like, if Oliver starts having some moral quandaries and on the wrong side of things about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he ends up saying that he thinks criminals should just die, obviously she'd say something to Cecil. And, like, if he starts acting on it.
Yeah, or if he brings up his whole fucking Kid Omni-Man spiel to her, she might have to say something about that one, too.
Yeah, that one's crazy. Ooh. I feel like he should be Invincible, right?
Yeah. We haven't seen the, not the babysitter, the nanny. We haven't seen the nanny in quite a few episodes.
Yeah, I think she was in for like, I think she was there for like a minute or two in the first episode and that's it.
Any other thoughts from folks on this episode? I feel like this was a more straightforward one.
Yeah, I think I'm good. There's really no like, there's obviously we had so much more to talk about with the first three episodes because there was just a lot going on. But I think
I'm
good.
I can't believe we wasted Feel It on Amber.
Wasted.
I think he deserved to have another song for this season.
Yeah. I'm sure they're going to do a few more needle drops on us throughout the season.
Be good.
What have you guys thought about the music so far? Has it stuck out to you?
It's good.
I don't really like Joji, though, so.
I'm with you on that. I think my favorite music moment, though, in Invincible, it's between two because of how fitting the songs were. Omni-Man going through that, like, alternate dimension, like, with the one song playing. I think it's called Holy Fuck. That's a banger. And, like, that fit really well with the scene. And then Karma Police last season with Mark flying around. What am I on about? Whenever they played Karma Police, because I know that wasn't all at the same time, but that was a good song choice.
Karma Police is a goated song.
Yeah. What about you, Aaron? What do you think?
I gotta be honest,
the Radiohead fan base is insufferable.
Yeah, I listen to a few Radiohead songs. I'd like to listen to more, but I feel like if I go on the internet and say, "Hey guys, what's a good Radiohead song?" I'm gonna have to deal with.
I'll tell you some good Radiohead songs. Just don't tell anyone I listen to Radiohead.
Well, Aaron's keeping this in, so you're done.
The whole world
listens to us, guys.
We about 7 billion listens on each episode, so we're almost right there.
I mean, I listen to Avenged Sevenfold, and some of those fans are, so I get it.
You think that we can get the GDA to start broadcasting our podcast out to the universe? Get some more ears on it.
The GDA.
Like, they have the ability to do that.
Cecil's got the facilities, I bet. He can teleport anywhere. You think he can't broadcast a podcast?
Anywhere he can teleport. Like, I'm pretty sure it's like,
it's terrestrial. Anywhere it's like, I'm sure he could get to like ISS too, like the space station, but that's the limit of it.
Yeah.
I think they have to have like satellite view so they don't like teleport him into a wall or something.
Right.
Actually, I am going to kind of rescind what I said. I've been thinking about what Chase said about them making Mark look a little bit older, like giving him some stress lines on his face. I think that they have aged up the characters appropriately, thinking back to what they look like in season one and thinking what they look like now.
Yeah. And Mark's definitely like bulked up a lot more, too.
For sure. I wanted to see him like continue some kind of training regimen after he broke faith with the GDA, but I don't know if that's just
I mean, what is he supposed to do? He's already like outperformed all of their equipment, and that's like the best funded thing that he could possibly have access to now that he's cut ties with them.
Bench press the moon.
Move the moon out of orbit.
That's like, yep.
I think that would mess with the Earth more than the Viltrumites are trying to do. Come on.
Mark causes a tsunami by just moving the moon back and forth.
By benching the moon, yeah.
Bro wipes out all of the West and East Coast by benching the moon.
Could Mark RDL the moon?
I don't think so. I don't think that even Nolan
Romanian
could
deadlift.
Oh.
I think end of series Mark should be able to.
I think current Mark could probably, considering if it's in space, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, we'll have to find out. Let's email Robert Kirkman, guys.
Yeah. And while we're at it, we'll ask him what the fuck is going on with The Walking Dead.
If he can lift like a fucking gigantic iceberg out of the water and hold it for minutes on end, I think he could do one rep of the moon.
I feel like the iceberg, an iceberg in the moon, that's a pretty steep fucking difference.
The moon's made out of, the moon's made out of cheese, Aaron.
Yeah, have you seen Wallace and Gromit?
Well, we'll find out. I'm sure he'll do it sometime, just for fun.
Yeah, maybe he'll crash the moon into fucking Viltrum or something. We'll see.
Right. I also do just want to say, Steven Yeun is killing it, of course.
Yeah, he always kills it.
This is like the first thing that I've been in.
Have you seen him in Beef, bro?
I have not seen. I watched one episode of Beef because someone told me to, and then I didn't watch anymore. I'll get to it.
It was probably one of us that told you to, because that show is just amazing.
No, if it was one of you that told me to, I would have kept watching. It was you know who.
I appreciate that, Richard.
It was you know who, yeah. So I'll get there one day. I'm binging through Dexter right now, though.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But no, Beef is a great series. It really just shows what a great actor Steven Yeun is.
Yeah, this is like the only thing that I've seen him in, though, and he does such a good job, and it's just voice acting. I'm sure he's just as good, if not better, in like live action roles.
Because he was fantastic in The Walking Dead too.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I don't know. I'll maybe give The Walking Dead a try at some point.
Just watch the first like 4 seasons, and then you can stop.
Thank God.
Like you don't have to watch
some of the current stuff.
Just watch. Like,
you don't need to watch all like 25 seasons that have come out since season 4. Like there's too much. Yeah.
Doesn't Rick Grimes have like an Assassin's Creed Hidden Blade now?
I don't know, but also the guy who plays the Immortal is Aaron in The Walking Dead.
Oh my God, yeah. You're the Immortal? You're the Mortal?
He also has a Morning Star on his fucking arm that got chopped off.
Speaking of Morningstar, Aaron,
I thought it was just his hand. Was it his arm?
His like maybe it was just his hand that got chopped off, but something got taken off of his body and a spiky ball was put on the end. So that's
yeah,
what's
I do
really
remember
important.
That.
That's silly. Imagine if you read a book called Morningstar.
Shut the fuck up. All right, should we do how we feel, guys?
Yeah,
let's get into it. Chase, you want to start us off since you did the honors of making this beautiful intro?
First.
You had me twice, so I deleted the first one and I put mine.
We just were so eager to hear from you, Richard.
I can go first if that's what you want.
No, it's all up to you, Chase. No. We'll save the worst for middle.
Right, I'll be the true mid of the episode.
Okay. This was just a fun episode. So many interesting plot lines and interesting progression of important character arcs. I do not remember any issues with the animation, and I think a break from Immortal and Kate was well deserved. We also get to see how human Mark is, acting selfishly and making poor decisions under pressure. I think this episode is a big step up from the past few, so I'm going to have to give it an 8.5 out of 10. Any objections on that?
I put it at an 8, but I could definitely give it that 8.5. Honestly, I'll go into my own thoughts. I like this episode. We obviously got more like building of that distrust between Cecil and Mark at the very start, because obviously Mark's not going to believe it. We've got Cecil. He's going to like look into the tech, and maybe Cecil will be the one to discover who's spying on Mark. And I think that'd be cool. And maybe they could start bridging the divide after that, if that happens, who knows? Obviously we got Viltrumite lore, and I've been waiting for that for a while. I've been super interested in Viltrum. And some people I've seen online, they're calling it like a filler episode. And I get that like it's not all important to the main plot, but it was still important and it was a pretty good episode. We got insight about the future of Earth, or at least the future of Earth before Mark got knowledge of it, and what being alive for so long could do to someone. I mean, who knows? Maybe that'll parallel Mark later on. And 8 out of 10 for me.
No, you're good. I was just reiterating my score.
Something I want to say about that filler episode thing that you mentioned is I think the only people saying that are people like who, like me, have read the comics. And like they're too like hard focused on what they know is going to happen and not like trying to just re-enjoy the story. Because like as like when I watch it, obviously, I don't try to like be like, oh, I know what's going to happen, so this means this. Like, I try and just watch it with fresh eyes. Like, as
yeah, because it's not a one-to-one, it's an adaptation.
Exactly. And I try, and, like, obviously, like, I'll be like, well, I know this is going to happen, but I'm not, I feel like, as someone who's talking to you guys who hasn't, like, who don't, like, know, like, completely what's happening in the future, this definitely does not seem like a filler episode. I feel like, if anything, this episode is progressing the main plot more than a lot of recent episodes, especially with Nolan and talking about the Viltrumites. Like, I don't know.
I'd say it's like it progresses the overall plot where it doesn't progress as much like the season plot. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know, like this season,
I know what you're trying to say.
The storyline is
like,
more like Angstrom and Cecil, whereas
well, yeah,
this was more.
Like, I think the thing is like, Aaron, you might want to cut that, is that like, people like Aaron, who don't know anything about what's going to happen, don't know that what the focus of the season is, I don't think, or like
true,
where this season is going.
I avoid even Googling the characters, like, because
yeah,
I know that I'm going to have it spoiled for me. I don't look anywhere online. I specifically try and tailor my different For You pages to not have stuff from the comics and just have stuff from the series.
The show.
Every once
yeah
in a while, something will leak in, but it's not.
Yeah.
Often,
like, what do you think, Aaron?
I kind of I talk a lot about this in my how we feel section,
yeah,
about
right
what I think.
Let's
about this
in.
So
I'll
just
get
right
into
that, it
then.
Yeah. So something like everyone was saying, I think this show really excels at giving us these like bottle stories that impact the overall story a lot. Another show might struggle with this, but I think I would be really bored if some other show did this in a different way. I know that I would be bored because other shows have bottle episodes or standalone sort of side adventures. And I
like
kind of
villain of the week episodes.
Yeah, like that type of thing, which this show does do the villain of the week thing, but they do it in such a good way. I think that it really lends to the comic booky aspect of it. Plus, there's just a ton of great character development and story progression going on during these bottle stories. And they also are really careful not to just give us those bottle stories. They're also giving us, like, this episode, they had Mark doing his whole character development thing in the alternate future. Then they gave us all of this story about Nolan and Alan. And they just balance it so well with giving us fun content that we can watch, and also moving the story along. I can't think of another show that really does bottle episodes and like one-off stories as well as this one does. But yeah, I think that this story or this episode really got everything rolling, especially on the Nolan and Alan side, and gave us a ton to take in. And my hot take of this episode is going to be, I think it's the second best episode in the series in terms of my enjoyment, and I only enjoyed the season one finale more than this one. I give it a good 8 out of 10.
Wow. A glowing review.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely, I don't agree with you on the second best episode, but I see like your reasoning, and I get it. I also personally loved, though, I liked both finales for the two seasons we've had so far. I liked the Angstrom finale, and I like the parallels between that and the season one finale.
Yeah.
But I would say top five episode for me for this one.
For sure. I think that this episode is just, if you were to ask me, give me an episode of Invincible that kind of captures the essence of the show, both in its pacing, or not both, but in its pacing, in its storytelling, just all of it. Give me a good example of what this show is all about. I would probably pick this episode. I think it has everything that Invincible does well within it.
Yeah, like put it into one. That's a good way to look at it.
And we don't have duplicate gaslighting about how she puts her life on the line just as much as everyone else.
Oh my god, dude. Get them out of there. the worst age gap couple to ever exist.
Sorry. That's so good. I'm going to start using that round.
That's really all I had for the... That's really all I had for this episode.
What's crazy is maybe I'm wrong, but I think Nolan is older than Immortal, and Immortal still has a crazier age gap relationship than Nolan.
Yeah.
I think it also doesn't help the Immortals' case that he's just so... Both the Immortal and Duplicate, it's just so easy to fucking hate those two. Like, with Nolan and Debbie, I like both of those characters, so I kind of don't think about the fact that Nolan is really old, but with Duplicate and Immortal, I'm just... It's thrown in my face a little more.
Yeah, but shout out characters that are super easy to hate. Like, I know there's so much discourse in the community about I'm on Cecil's side, I'm on Mark's side, blah, 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 blah. But the two things that we can all agree on, the Immortal and Kate fucking suck, and Shapesmith, totally justified, dude. He gets to keep his race car bed.
Yeah.
I would stay on Cecil's side for a race car bed.
All I'm saying is making a hateable character is still good writing, by the way. Like,
oh, no, it's phenomenal. This is, I'm going to pull from Hunter Hunter real quick. Hisoka. I hate him. He's an awful person. He's a pedophile.
Okay, like, I agree with you on this, but the problem is it might not be a great example because a lot of people in the fandom are freaks and he's, like, their favorite character.
Well, yeah. I don't care. He's very hateable and it's intentional, but he's so well written. Like, that's kind of... It's the characters that are written to be hateable versus characters that aren't like that on purpose. I feel like that's an important distinction, at least for me.
Is that grievous? Is that on grievous?
That might be on grievous. Before we get into the outro, I did want to bring up a little feedback because we had a lot of people chatting in the Invincible channel over on the Lorehounds Discord server. There's a nice conversation going on.
I have not been opening that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's under the television. Like threads in their books, game.
Oh,
movies.
I see.
Yeah.
I see it.
Oh my god.
So
okay, well, I need to like pin the thread or whatever.
Wait, where?
No,
where
for
is
sure,
it?
Because people are talking about it television. In there, and
how do I pin this?
Right-click on it, and then hit follow post.
Okay.
And listeners, if you're not tapped into the Invincible thing,
Shane said today at 11:40 a.m. 11:40 a.m. They are cooking with multiple O's.
Past.
Shane, well, he's right.
100% right.
Yeah. We're going to give Shane a thumbs up for that.
I'm going to give him the fire. And also the thumbs up because he's right.
But yeah, Jean over on the Invincible thread, which he's also... He does a lot with Alicia over on their podcast, which is the Multiverses podcast. They go through a ton of comic book and superhero stuff. So if you like Invincible content, you do. They're awesome over there.
Awesome.
Which podcast is that again? Sorry. I was reading through the thing.
It's Multiverses, which is just underneath the Lorehounds channel. So it's not a separate feed or anything. It's just on the Lorehounds main feed, but... I think the last thing they reviewed was Joker Folie à Deux, which was a really fun review. Actually, they might have done one since then, but they had a lot of fun talking about Joker too.
I'm sure they did.
But anyways, John says, episode 4, and one thing among the many I really like is how they make Mark look like he's aged. Like the past two seasons have weighed on him heavily and you can see it all on his face. Yeah, 100% agreed. I wish I had read that before I went on my whole spiel about how I didn't think that they looked older.
It's all good. Great minds think alike, and I said a very similar thing. So
yeah. And I also agreed.
Yeah. And, yeah, piggybacker.
All right. I was giving Chase a piggyback ride. Do you have a problem with that? I was taking him higher, like Creed said to.
Zatoichi, in response to Jean's message, said, agreed. He looks sad. One thing I really like is that we're seeing how Marks of other dimensions were bad guys and how Mark can kind of be a selfish jerk. And yeah, we see him being a little bit of a selfish jerk in the main timeline and acting in a way that's, I think it's completely valid and normal for him to respond that way due to the trauma he's gone through. But it's like, Mark, you got to kind of pull it together.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I see where it's coming from, though. If you're
well, yeah.
Situation, you're probably bugging and tweaking, too.
I mean, if you think about it, too, in terms of, like, how old he is, he's younger than, the character's younger than we are, right? He's 18?
I don't think so anymore.
I think he's, maybe 19? Like, 19.
Well, he's our age group, generally, like, being put in these situations, making these choices.
I do think he is younger than us, though, yeah.
So yeah.
Probably, like...
Yeah. When we first started watching the show, Mark was older than us, and now he's younger than us.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just between the season one and two gap, even, that change happened, right?
For sure. Joe Herbers, sorry, I'm not quite sure how to say that username. Send in a correction, because I probably did not do that right, but... They say, so much punching. I like the show, but the action gets a little repetitive. Would disagree with it, but I can see where you're coming from. I like the action a lot.
I understand that point where it's like, if you're watching Invincible for like just like the story, then like the punching and fighting probably gets a little tiring. But I think like as it being a comic, like superhero story, it's just like inevitably just a main part of it.
Yeah, it definitely comes with the territory on this one.
But I do see where you're coming from with maybe a little bit of over-reliance on it. Maybe save the punches for the really cool, crazy fight scenes, right? I can see that. And then Davey Mac responded and said, this is exactly why I fell off for a bit in season two. Glad I came back to it, but yeah, this is my main issue with the show. So it seems like that seems... to be a popular opinion in the community is that people don't want as much fighting as there is, which again, I like the fighting, but I can totally see that perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I believe is all of the feedback. Sorry, I was just doing a quick double check to make sure I didn't miss any like longer points that we haven't already touched on. So yeah, with that being said, Chase, you want to get us into our outro here?
Thank you to everyone for tuning in today, and we hope you tune in again next time.
Yeah. Ditto what Chase
said. Took you a while to spit that one out, bud. You good?
He's a little distracted today. Ditto to what Chase said. We're real happy that you all are tuning in and that this season of television is getting a whole lot of conversation over on the Discord, because it's just one of those shows that we love to talk about. And before we let you go,
oh my god, speaking of the Discord, sorry.
Shut up.
No, go ahead. Before I get into my whole spiel, do it.
Yeah, exactly. Richard, again, no R with a colon.
I'm filled with hatred and deceit. You're filled with joy.
You know what?
Can you mute him?
You know what? Usually, I'm the one who's a hater. And as Mr. Milchick would say, today there's a little bit of sugar with my usual salt.
Who the hell is Mr. Milchick?
You
don't know Mr. Milkshake?
Mr. Milkshake. Oh, okay. I thought he said, okay.
All right.
I said Milchick.
Just on the Discord, guys, I was talking to Aaron today, and for anime enjoyers, I was talking to him, and I kind of have him with the idea that maybe he should watch Attack on Titan.
Yes, finally.
I know. Obviously, we wouldn't do that right now because we're doing a lot of coverage on some stuff right now. We don't want to overbook ourselves again and get behind schedule. So that's obviously a future plan. But if you guys would like that, please let us know so we can maybe move it up in priority and make it our next big project or something.
Even if we just do like a season or like an arc recap, whatever, that'd be fun. I'd love to talk Attack on Titan.
Well, yeah, we'd probably do like maybe like an every 10 episodes check-in or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like that's typically how they like section off the arcs too. So that would work well. Except for, I feel like the final season is more of like a continuous thing, but that's
I mean, we could still split it up. They split it up a ton, so.
There's a hell of a lot of content.
I was going to say, you two know better than I do how we should split it up, because the last time I watched Attack on Titan, I was a literal child, so.
So it's 80 episodes, and it's two of those episodes are like an hour and a half. I feel like for those two last episodes, we'd probably want to just do one
episode
per each.
Yeah.
And then we'll do like major arcs. Like, I feel like the training and the first major arc we could slap into one episode, Jace. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Well, that seems like probably as soon as we're done with our Nocturne Season 2 episode, we could probably like hop in and start doing that. I just need to sit down and actually watch these episodes of
Yeah.
And if I would love to watch a few of them with you, too.
Yeah. I would too, but if you guys are watching them in person, then I'll just do my own rewatch.
We could definitely do a watch party for a few episodes.
Yeah. I always love Discord movie nights.
Yep. We'll have to do that soon. But before we let you guys go, I just want to give a quick shout out to all the other podcasts in the network. First of all, to the ones who make all of this possible, our parent podcast, The Lorehounds. They've got a lot of great coverage going on. Alicia is giving a really great recap of a lot of the Oscar-nominated movies, and I believe she's trying to get through a pretty good number of them. They just did Conclave, which was with Marilyn and David and Anthony from Properly Howard Movie Review, and that was a really interesting podcast to listen to. I actually gave it a listen this afternoon while I was doing a little work, and especially with everyone's backgrounds. Anthony is a religious studies professor, so he had a lot of really cool insight into Conclave, and everyone else had super interesting things to say. So also in the network are some pretty excellent podcasts like Wool Shift Dust, who Alicia and her co-host Luke covered the second season of Silo. They wrapped that up recently, and they've got a lot of really cool coverage surrounding that, so go check them out. Also, Alicia's got her Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast. Marilyn, who I mentioned earlier, her and her co-host Dr. Sarah Brown over on Rings and Rituals are cooking up some things for the second season of The Rings of Power. So just stay tuned, and they'll have some updates on when they're going to start releasing episodes. And Properly Howard Movie Review just finished their latest season of Few Good Films. The Severance podcast is, of course, the big thing in the Lorehounds network right now, because Severance is just crazy good. You have to go check it out. That's a joint Properly Howard and Lorehounds production, so it's its own feed. You just got to search up the Severance Lorehounds podcast, and you should be able to find it. You can also get links to all of these shows in the show notes. And then we have our newest affiliate, Nevermind the Music, which also, to kind of piggyback off of the Severance stuff, Nevermind the Music, both Mark and Nicole have come over to the Severance feed and the Patreon feed over on the Lorehounds to discuss the new season of Severance. So a lot of awesome Severance content. Chase, I know he and I have been greatly enjoying that, so I just can't recommend enough.
Everyone start watching Severance now.
Exactly. So links to all of these shows and info on how to get a hold of us, it's going to be in the show notes, so just check below. And again, thank you all for joining us, and we hope to see you in our next episode of Invincible.
Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.